Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. Let's talk about Robert E. Lee. You don't want his name on the West Point barracks.
No, I think it's probably time to, I think there are probably other great Americans who have led West Point or distinguished themselves that we could name buildings after. Robert E. Lee, people may not know this, is a graduate of West Point and led the Academy. And there was a time in American history where I believe some people thought that having a Grant Barracks and a Lee Barracks next to each other was a symbolic effort to reunite the country. But bear in mind, at the end of the day, these are leaders of an armed rebellion against the Constitution and government of the United States who sought to perpetuate a system of racial enslavement. We don't need to honor that 150 years later. We're a better country than that. And I think we can find better leaders to recognize than people who would have perpetuated a system of slavery and injustice and who revolted against their own government and who caused a war that cost millions of lives. I mean, why are we honoring that? Why should young people who are part of a diverse, new, dynamic America have to look at statues and look at tributes to people who sought to make them less than human? It's just wrong.
Governor Cuomo has come out because there's now a movement to take down Columbus's statue from Columbus Circle. And Columbus, of course, is a central figure to Italian-American, Columbus Day Parade or everything else, Columbus Avenue, to Italian-American, identification. Where does it stop is my question.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You can get carried away with any effort to try to do something like this. But I also don't think you should let it paralyze you. How about if we stop with those who've engaged in armed rebellion against the Constitution of the United States? How about that? That'd be one stopping place. How about we do that first, and then we'll have a conversation about everybody else. In other words, you can look at people like Washington and Jefferson and say, God, they made extraordinary contributions to our history, to the founding of our country, and they were slave owners, and we are deeply concerned about the moral dilemma of honoring people who also own slaves. That's a fair conversation, but there is no denying the contribution they made to American history, and we rightly honor those contributions. That is not the case with people who rebelled against the Constitution in the name of preserving slavery. So let's not go too far, but let's not paralyze ourselves either as we continue to do sensible things, like say the Confederate battle flag shouldn't be flown over state capitals.
Yeah, if you are African American and you pass a Lee statue, you are properly incensed. If you are Native American and pass a Columbus statue, I have a feeling you're equally incensed.
Yeah, look, I'm not denying that there are difficult conversations to have about those we honor throughout our history. But I am saying that it should not deter us from having that conversation or acting where it's quite easy to do so.
Okay.
And when you're talking about Nazis and white supremacists marching in the streets of Charlottesville, I know what side I'm on, and I'm sure as heck not going to get slowed down by someone raising it to an absurd extent or saying there's other tough questions to have. And by the way, I also don't want to be distracted by this stuff to the point where I'm taking my eye off the ball on things like trying to end health care for 20 million Americans, on things like, wasting time when we need to be passing a budget and a debt ceiling, when we should be investing in infrastructure and growing jobs. I don't want to chase my tail on a bunch of divisive issues either, which is why it would be nice if the president could find the American consensus on this and be the reasonable voice. And then if there are nuances and difficult conversations and conflicts among people of good faith, well, gosh, we can have that like adults do. But when it comes to neo-Nazis and white supremacists, I'm pretty clear on what the right thing to do is.
Sean Patrick Maloney, good discussion. Let me ask you about North Korea. I've been waiting to talk to you to ask you this question. What would you do about North Korea?
Yeah, this is the most dangerous situation on the planet. People need to understand how serious it is. I was recently in South Korea and traveled to the DMZ. I was able to meet with the Japanese prime minister and the senior South Korean leadership and to speak to our outstanding American military leadership in the region, Vince Brooks, who's the four-star who commands all U.S. forces in Korea. It's a complex situation, and I want people to know that if Hillary Clinton were president today, she would be equally concerned about the development of an ICBM thermonuclear capability by the North Koreans. This is not some Republican or Democratic issue. This is not some issue that only Donald Trump is worried about. All Americans need to be concerned about this. We have a very difficult question to ask, which is whether we can live under the threat of a North Korean thermonuclear ICBM capability, and by the way, the risk that Kim Jong-un proliferates that nuclear capability to terrorists who don't want to be deterred, who want to use it. And so it is imperative that we stop, if we can, the North Korean nuclear program. The way to do it is by maximizing the leverage of the Chinese and our regional partners in Japan and in the South, and speaking with one voice. And we have to come together on this. It's nuts that the president is undermining the South Koreans right now by saying he's going to renegotiate our trade deal with them, even though there are problems with that trade deal. Now is not the time to do it. We need to be shoulder to shoulder with the South Koreans, the Japanese, and now the Chinese, and to the extent we can, the Russians, to make it absolutely clear to the North Korean leadership that this is a line they cannot cross without being completely removed from any relationship, economically or otherwise, with all of those partners, because they do depend on the Chinese in particular for what little economic vitality they have. But if they are determined to develop this capability, then we are in a real crisis. And I hope people understand how serious this is.
Well, I think everybody does. I think it's the most, as you say, one of the scariest things I've ever lived through, and I'm old. And so my question to you would be, what if they, you know, not only set off nuclear devices, which they've clearly been doing in their own place, but let's say they send another one over Japan. Let's say that, you know, they blow something up. Is there a point at which you got a war?
Yes, there is. And when I get off the phone with you, I'm actually going into a classified briefing with the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense and the Director of National Intelligence and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who are going to brief us on the latest on this. But what I can tell you is that there is a very real possibility that a series of events could occur where the North does cross the line, where they attack the South, where they attack our facility in Guam, where they attack the Japanese. And through miscalculation or escalation, you could see hundreds of thousands of casualties in the region. And getting these steps right and understanding the explosive nature of this crisis is critical. It is the most serious confrontation since the Cuban Missile Crisis, and that is why the President of the United States needs to be sober and thoughtful, and he needs to listen to the national security team he's built, and he needs to proceed lockstep with our regional partners on this, because there is no margin for error.
You know, Sean Patrick Maloney, we're running out of time, but it has occurred to me that if China is so worried about, you know, South Korea coming up to their borders, maybe there's some kind of negotiation, not with the North Koreans, but with the Chinese, that puts them in a comfort zone.
Yeah, I think you will see that part of any conversation where I think most of us would say that we do not have an interest in encroaching on what China believes to be, you know, its buffer of North Korea, if we can address the nuclear threat from that regime. There are obviously longer term concerns about the human rights record and the fate of the people who live in the North, but the immediate crisis is whether they develop an active ICBM thermonuclear capability that could threaten every American city, and soon they will have hundreds of these devices and can initiate a nuclear war that threatens New York and Washington and L.A. and Chicago and everywhere in between, and we must not allow them to go to that level if we are capable of stopping it.
Of course, they're saying so. Listen, it's Sean Patrick Maloney. Hey, these have been great discussions, Sean Patrick Maloney. I really appreciate your coming around and doing that. So when we come back the next time, we'll talk a little about Russia, okay?
You bet.